This afternoon we'll be considering Bartimaeus from Mark chapter 10. So we'll turn there. Text will be verses 46 to 52. For context's sake, we'll begin reading at verse 32, and we'll read to the end of the chapter. Mark 10, beginning at verse 32. Now they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, that's the disciples and the great crowd. And Jesus was going before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. Then he took the 12 aside again and began to tell them the things that would happen to him. Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and scourge him and spit on him and kill him. And the third day he will rise again. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him, saying, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. And he said to them, What do you want me to do for you? They said to him, Grant us that we may sit, one on your right hand and the other on your left, in your glory. But Jesus said to them, You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said to him, We are able. So Jesus said to them, You will indeed drink the cup that I drink. And with the baptism I am baptized with, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be greatly displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to himself and said to them, You know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. And here begins our text. Now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, What do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, Go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. So far from our text. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, blindness is a difficult thing to live with. And I probably don't even have to explain that to you in order for you to understand. It's easy to imagine how that would be a challenge. Perhaps some of you older members are worried about losing your eyesight. Some of you perhaps are dealing with failing eyesight. How does a blind person get around? How does someone with bad eyesight do the day-to-day tasks of life? What would it be like to live in a world where you can't see anything? The Bible uses this desperate condition of blindness to describe the spiritual state of fallen mankind. It describes us as blind, unable to see. We're unable to see our sin. We're unable to see God for who He is. Frankly, we're unable to do anything about it. And so our regeneration, it's pictured as a blind man being given sight, just like this Bartimaeus. And the most important thing, the most wonderful thing is, well, where does this gift come from? It comes from Jesus Christ Himself. And that's our theme this afternoon. Jesus opens the eyes of the blind. And we'll consider three things. First, the condition of those who are blind. Secondly, the mercy of the one who makes us see. And finally, the response of those who see. So Jesus opens the eyes of the blind. First, we'll look at the condition of those who are blind. Mark tells us at the beginning of our text that Jesus and his disciples had come to Jericho, that they had passed through the city. They were now leaving the city. He's leading his disciples toward Jerusalem, and Jericho is more or less the last stop along the way. So now as they're leaving this city, Jesus, the great crowd following him, they pass by a blind man along the side of the road. Mark tells us who this is. He says it's Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. And that's actually rather redundant, because that name Bartimaeus means son of Timaeus. Bar means son, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. So Mark is explaining this, over-explaining it for his readers. But what you might also consider to be a bit redundant is that designation, blind beggar. If you were blind, you were a beggar. No ifs, no ands, no buts. If you couldn't see, you couldn't work. You could not earn a living. There was no government benefits in those days. No welfare. No disability benefit. There's no food bank you can go to. There's no schools for the blind. Your only option is begging. And beggars, they were not held in high esteem either. They were despised. And in that respect, you can think of our own day that not much has really changed. If you travel downtown, you'll frequently see beggars, people suffering from disabilities, addictions, PTSD perhaps. They don't have a home. They don't have a job. They sit or they stand by the side of the road and they beg. And blind Bartimaeus was one of those people. But in the Gospel of Mark, Bartimaeus functions as more than just a roadside beggar. He's actually a picture. He's a picture of Israel as a whole. It's that entire generation of Jews, the crowds that follow Jesus, the disciples that follow Jesus. It's that whole group that is blind. They don't understand. They don't see who Jesus is. They don't understand what he's come to do. And that becomes very clear if we consider what's been happening briefly in Mark. If you were to look back to chapter 8, you would see that Jesus healed another blind man. He took this man by the hand. He spit on the man's eyes and he laid his hands on the man's eyes. He begins to see, but he doesn't see clearly at first. He describes people. He says they look like trees walking. And Jesus, then he lays his hands on the man's eyes again and he can see clearly. So he heals this man's blindness, but it happens in two stages. And these two stages in the Gospel of Mark, they're very symbolic. And they represent that spiritual sight of the disciples. They begin to see, just like that man seeing people look like trees, but they don't see clearly at first. They understand that Jesus is the Messiah. They understand that Jesus is the Christ. Peter makes that confession. Lord, you are the Christ, he says. That's that first stage. But Peter's missing something. And the disciples are still missing something. They think that Jesus is coming to establish an earthly kingdom, that he's going to overthrow the Romans. But Jesus insists. He tells them very differently. He tells them three times that he's going to die. He tells them three times that he's going to rise again. And still they don't get it. In what we read from Mark 10, the disciples are busy asking about positions in an earthly kingdom. Lord, who gets to sit at your right hand and your left hand in your glory? They're totally blind. Totally blind about what Jesus came to do. He didn't come to defeat the Romans. He came to defeat sin. And how was he going to do that? Well, he explained that in the verse immediately prior to our text. He came not to be served like an earthly conqueror, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many. And brothers and sisters, the same blindness exists for us as well. Without the intervention of God, without Jesus opening our eyes to the truth, we don't understand. We don't understand that the real problem is sin, that it's sin that has separated us from God. There's an old story from India called The Blind Men and the Elephant. The story goes that there was a group of old blind men who didn't know what an elephant was. And they heard that there was one in the neighboring village, so they traveled to find out. And the first man, he felt the side of that elephant and he thought, well, an elephant must be something like a wall. The second touches the tusk of the elephant. He thinks an elephant must be something like a spear. The next, he grabs the trunk. He thinks, well, the elephant must be something like a snake. Another grabs the leg and thinks, well, the elephant is something like a tree. And they have all these different ideas in their minds. They begin to fight in a very comical way. They begin to fight with each other. But of course, as you can imagine, their blindness has totally prevented them from discovering what an elephant is really like. And you see, unless our blindness is removed by Christ himself, we don't see clearly that the problem is sin. We don't see clearly that the solution that's necessary is the cross. You can see this in our world around us. Everyone recognizes that there's something, wrong with this world. They feel it. Some will say that problem is suffering. Others will say that the problem is it's oppression, it's bigotry, that it's about class struggle. Think about the Jews and the Romans in their time. If we get rid of the Romans, our problem solves. Others might say that the problem in life is people's greed. Others, the problem is psychological. We need to change the way we think. But brothers and sisters, these are merely the opinions of blind men. Blind men groping around in the dark. Blind people, they can't see. They can't see the big elephant. They don't see that it's sin. Sin is the problem. And not only is sin the problem, but sin also makes us blind so that we can't see the problem. And so we're left in this cycle of helplessness. Like Bartimaeus, we're a beggar. We have nothing to offer our Lord. We have no insight. We have no wisdom. We're blind. We don't recognize God as our Father. We don't recognize Jesus Christ as our Savior. Rather, we follow our own sinful desires. And we just plunge ourselves. We plunge ourselves into more poverty, more spiritual poverty, more despair. All we have is filthy rags. And the question is, could Bartimaeus, could he pull himself up by his own bootstraps? Could he free himself from his poverty? Well, no, he couldn't. He needed somebody to heal him, someone to save him, someone to make him see. And like Bartimaeus, we too, we can't do anything until a Savior intervenes. And that's what our second point is, considering the mercy of Jesus. Mercy of the one who makes us see, who makes Bartimaeus see. Bartimaeus, he's there, he's sitting by the roadside. He hears that this commotion is going on. There's a sound of a large crowd. Luke tells us that he actually asks the question, he asks someone beside him, well, what's going on? Who's passing by? And it gets the answer, well, it's Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth who is passing by. And you can well imagine that there's this poor, blind beggar, Bartimaeus, asking that same question. Same question day after day. Please, sir, who is it? Excuse me, who's passing by? You would hear the answer, well, it's a well-known rabbi. And so you would cry out, good teacher, do you have alms for a poor man? Or someone would say, it's a wealthy merchant. And you say, generous sir, do you have coins to spare? But his cry is so different in our text. He hears that it's Jesus of Nazareth passing by. And so he says, Jesus, son of David, have mercy. Have mercy on me. It's not a cry for money. It's a cry for mercy. And he's so desperate, he calls out twice. And it's even louder the second time after the crowd tries to quiet him. Bartimaeus, he's heard. He's heard about this Jesus of Nazareth. He's the one that's been going around the countryside, performing miracles, healing people. And this man's disciples, too, they've been going out into towns, villages, performing miracles. So Bartimaeus cries out for mercy. Mercy to heal his blindness. And there's a lot more wrapped into these words of Bartimaeus. He calls Jesus son of David. God had promised David way back in 2 Samuel. He said that he would raise up offspring after David. That David's house and his kingdom would last forever. That David's throne would be established forever. Now we know, of course, that the throne of the kings of Israel and Judah didn't last forever. Those kings were carried off into exile. But rather, this promise was to be fulfilled by the Messiah. It was to be fulfilled by that great coming king who would establish his kingdom forever. And so that term, son of David, it means Messiah, it means Christ. It had been prophesied in the Old Testament, especially in prophet Isaiah, that that Messiah, that Christ figure would come. He would bring liberty to the captives. He would heal the sick. And he would give sight. He would give sight to the blind. Did Bartimaeus know that Jesus came to die on a cross? Probably not. Did Bartimaeus know that Jesus was that second person of the Trinity? I don't think so. But he did know that Jesus had the power to heal. And so he begged the Messiah for mercy. And that cry, it's full of the Old Testament. We read from Psalm 51. David cries out, have mercy on me, O God, same as Bartimaeus. According to your loving kindness, says David. Have mercy on me, O God. That occurs many other times in the Psalms. It's the cry of David when he's surrounded by enemies. It's the cry of David when he's faced by slander, when he's faced by accusations. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness. And we see that loving kindness manifested in Christ in this story. Jesus stops. He stops on the road and says, call that beggar. Call that blind man to me. Why would he stop? He's leading a mighty crowd of people. They're all going up to Jerusalem. It's the time of Passover. So there's even more Jews traveling through Jericho on their way to Jerusalem to celebrate. He's about to enter the city in a triumphal procession. People are about to say and cry out, Hosanna! But why does he stop everything? Well, it's because of his loving kindness. It's because of his steadfast love. He stops to show mercy. He stops to show mercy to this man. So Bartimaeus, he gets up. The people say, be of good cheer, rise. So he throws off his garment. He comes and he runs to Jesus. Imagine that, a blind man springing up and just running. Jesus asks him, he says, well, what do you want me to do for you? Not long before, Jesus had asked that same question to James, to John. What did they say? They said, grant that we may sit, one on your right hand, one and the other on your left, in your glory. They wanted glory in an earthly kingdom. But Bartimaeus makes a very different answer. He says, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Teacher, he says, let me see. Christ, unlike James and John, he grants the request of Bartimaeus. He says, go your way. Your faith has made you well. And immediately Bartimaeus receives his sight. Bartimaeus, he asked for mercy from Jesus to heal his eyesight. But he received a type of mercy that was far more than he asked for. Christ had given Bartimaeus also spiritual eyesight. He commends Bartimaeus for having faith. That faith, it was not Bartimaeus' treasure that he offers to Jesus, but rather that faith, that spiritual eyesight was something that Jesus had given to him. There we see that steadfast love of Jesus Christ in giving faith, giving spiritual sight to Bartimaeus. And that steadfast love, Christ has that also towards us. It's only by the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that our blindness is removed. We can't make ourselves see. Just as Bartimaeus couldn't save himself, we can't go our own way after we've made ourselves well. It's the mercy of Christ. And it's the work of his Holy Spirit that he sends in our hearts. And it's only by Christ's mercy that we can see what he really came to do. He came to address the problem of sin. That sin that had destroyed our relationship with God. And the sin that continues night and day to hound us, to pursue us, that tries to drag us away from God. By Christ's mercy, he makes us able to see. See that he's the Messiah and Savior who paid the price for that sin. That in Christ there's forgiveness of sins. That's what our Savior has done for us. Christ has given to us that kind of mercy that David asked for in Psalm 51. He asked God to be merciful, to blot out his transgressions, to wash him, make him whiter than snow, create in him a pure heart. How did David come to that understanding? Was it not by the Lord opening David's eyes to see his sin and misery? By Christ's mercy, we also can see a Savior who has taken away all these sins from us. And that brings us to our third point, the response of those who see. It's the final few words of our text that are very significant. And immediately, Bartimaeus received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. And this reaction of Bartimaeus is remarkable. He becomes a disciple. He follows Jesus into the city of Jerusalem. Jesus had said to him, go your way. You can now see. Go. Go your way with perfect eyesight. You might have expected him to want to go see the sights, see the places that he's never seen before, that spot along the road where he used to beg, some of the buildings of Jericho, perhaps. But he doesn't do that. He doesn't spend his time marveling at his new eyesight, staring at the trees, the mountain range, the people around him. He doesn't go on a sightseeing tour. He wants to put his sight to good use, and it's for one purpose only. That's following the Lord Jesus. He had a whole world to explore, but his earnest desire was to follow Jesus. Perhaps you remember that story of the rich young man. Just as Jesus began this journey to Jerusalem, that rich young man came to him, asking to inherit eternal life. Did that rich young man follow Jesus? No, he didn't. He went away sad. He went away disheartened by what Jesus said to him. He found it too difficult, too hard to enter the kingdom of heaven. He was worshiping an idol. his own material wealth, his earthly possessions. He put his trust in things that would be destroyed by rust, things that would be eaten by moths, rather than in the Lord Jesus. But Jesus did not come to establish an earthly kingdom where those sorts of goods would matter. The treasures of Jesus' kingdom are spiritual treasures. Were they gained by military conquest? No. They're gained by the way of suffering. Death upon the cross. That's how the king won eternal life for all his subjects, all those citizens of his heavenly kingdom. And so now here in Bartimaeus is a citizen of that kingdom. And it's not a rich man, it's a beggar. And he doesn't turn away. He follows Jesus. He's overwhelmed by the mercy of Christ. Jesus had healed him, saved him from his miserable condition. He has new life. So how could he let Jesus pass by? He couldn't go his own way. The way that he goes is right behind Jesus. Bartimaeus' way is Jesus' way. The two have become one. He doesn't trust in possessions, abilities, other people. His heart's been won over by the mercy of Christ. And so, brothers and sisters, what is our response? What's our response when Jesus Christ gives us sight to see, spiritual sight? You might say that the miracle of being given sight is accompanied by heart surgery. When we're made to see that in Christ our sins are forgiven, that his atoning work frees us from sin, then our hearts are changed. We're not attached to the things of this world. Instead, we're attached to Jesus Christ. And our hope becomes for that heavenly kingdom that he's establishing. We too have joined in following Jesus in that joyful procession. So then where's our heart? To what are we attached? For what do we yearn? Do we live for our career? Do we live for our job? Is it our worldly status that's captured our heart? Maybe the greatest motivation in your life is to do well in school. Fine thing. Perhaps your trust is in yourself. Your security is in your family, your friends. Or maybe your heart is held captive by a certain sin. But brothers and sisters, when our eyes are open to the gospel, our hearts will not remain detached. They won't remain attached to our beggarly filth. In fact, it's our Savior who won't allow it. He's like a shepherd who leads his sheep. And our Savior, he makes us to follow along in his way. And his way is the way of suffering, the way of the cross, carrying our own cross, cutting off sin, putting it to death, being despised by the world around us, feeling like strangers, feeling like exiles. That's the way Bartimaeus followed. And it's the way we must follow too. But the joy is that we go having been cured. We go having been cured of our blindness. There's something in front of us that we see. We see that coming glory of the heavenly kingdom. We see that there's an eternal inheritance in store. There's eternal life in communion with God. We see that sin will be removed completely. There will be no more blindness. There will be no more begging. And when Bartimaeus followed Jesus, that's where he was going. And so this fact, brothers and sisters, it ought to make us so willing. Make us so willing to leave everything aside, like Bartimaeus did, leaving his cloak, his only thing that he had. Should make us so willing to suffer the miseries of this life. And all the while we wait. We wait for that inheritance. We wait for that heavenly kingdom that is coming. Amen. Let's respond in prayer. pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we come before you knowing that you are the God of loving kindness, of steadfast love towards your covenant people. And Father, when Christ came into the world, we see your love manifested in him and how he sought out a citizen of his heavenly kingdom and how he cured him of his spiritual blindness. Father, we see in that a picture of our own blindness, our own desperate condition in which we were caught, in which we were left. Father, we thank you that in Jesus Christ you grant us sight. You grant us the ability to see. The ability to see that sin is the problem and that Christ came to save us from it, to make the payment. And Father, when we see clearly, now we also live in such joy. The joy of knowing that our sins are forgiven and the joy of anticipation of that hope that we have. So Father, we pray that we, like Bartimaeus, would see you for who you are, follow in your way, and experience that joy of doing so. Although the world may reject us, Father, we pray that you would work in us by the Holy Spirit and cause us to be a bright light in this world for all people to see. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.